Good evening, Scott.
Wonderful. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to week number two of Stop and Live, Massage Therapy Radio's new weekly radio program with Jane Vandress. My name is Scott Dartnell, and I will be your host. Thank you to everyone who has contributed questions to the show. Please continue to send your questions and comments. Jane and I spoke at length this week how all the listeners, their contributions, how we're going to be using them in the shows or in future shows. I'd also thank you to those many people, Jane and I talked about this week, who went out of their way to offer their positive comments of our first show. Jane and I are grateful. I would now like to introduce my friend and colleague and, I guess, my advisor, Jane Vandress. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, Scott. Thank you. How are you this evening?
I'm very good. I'm very good. I had a full day. I started very early this morning doing a on-site health and wellness with the city I live in. Of course, the city you live in, city of Hamilton, and it's a great day, really rewarding day. So it was a lot of fun, and just finished it off doing a seminar tonight. So it's been a full day, and I love it. I love doing it. Now this is my chance to relax and work with you. This is my favorite part.
Well, I'm looking forward to it also.
We're going to start this week off by I had put our affirmation on our page tonight. And I had sent it out to anybody who's actually online. For the people that had dialed in, I'm going to read the affirmation that we had finished off with last week, the one that we're working the show around this week. And the affirmation goes, love is what we are born with. Fear is what we have learned here. The spiritual journey is the unlearning of fear and the acceptance of love back into our hearts. And I really am very fond of that quote, Jane, as I know you are too. And that's
Marianne
Williamson.
It's a very strong quote.
Pardon me?
It's a very strong quote.
Yes, it is. It is very strong. It is very strong. We were going to talk, since we were talking about where we were going to work from this week, and we were going to talk about some of our experiences. So I want to start with you, Jane. We're not getting into anything really deep, but an experience that we've had, a fear that we've overcome. So would you like to talk about that?
Sure. I have many, many fears I've overcome and probably will have many, many more in the future. But one I'd like to share with everybody is that ongoing for quite some time was a fear that I had of eating in a public place by myself. So, I have no problem eating on my own at home and at friends' house, but to eat in a public place by myself was truly something I never thought I would do up until probably about a year ago. And I actually went into a pizza and thought I was just going to order a piece of pizza and take it out. So the girl asked me, would you like to eat this in or take it out? And I said, well, it's going to be takeout. So then the girl came back, she got my pizza, and then she put it on a tray, and she served it to me. And I said, oh, I said takeout. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you meant you're going to eat in. So I took that as a sign, and I thought, okay, well, you know what, there's nobody in there, so I'm going to take my chances. I sat down, started eating the pizza, some people came in, faced my fear, and then realized, what was I so fearful of? So now I have no problem doing that. Doesn't mean in the near future I'm going to run out and do it all the time, but if that ever should opportunity should arise again, then I will do it with no problem.
Well,
what about you?
We were talking about that today. We were talking about different fears, and there's certainly some ones that are we've all experienced that have been more serious that we've overcome. My biggest fear, I remember, was of the ocean, was swimming in the ocean. you know, my first recollection of going to a movie as a young person was going to see Jaws. And many years later, my wife and myself, we went to Bermuda, and we had decided that, you know, it was our second time there, and we had seen everything. It's not a big island. We were going to spend most of our time snorkeling. And it wasn't a big thing to overcome, but it was just, you know, it's a little unnerving being out in the ocean. But I have to say, that was, if anything I've ever overcome, I can't think of anything that's been more satisfying than that, because we spent 5 out of 7 days just snorkeling around the reefs with this millions of fish. And, you know, there's just something about, it's just hard to put into words about being in water, about being in warm water and floating. And it's just one of those times that you really are in the moment, that you really are sensing everything. You can hear your own breathing, and you're looking and feeling everything around you. And if any of the lower level fears that I've overcome, that's probably the most memorable to me.
Well, I would think you overcame a big one.
Well, it was definitely interesting, but I'd encourage anybody that hasn't done it to do it, because there's something special about being in the water, that's for sure.
Well, I had my own personal experience with the water.
Mm-hmm.
The water can be very meditative, and I was actually floating on my back, and I was floating out further and further. My husband and I were in Bahamas, and I didn't realize how far I had floated out. And the next thing I know, something was jumping over me, and I thought my husband was just throwing rocks at me trying to get my attention. So the next thing, I kind of lifted my head up, and I realized there was a fish flying over top of me. And then
no
I realized
way.
I was way out there. So I panicked a little bit, and I remembered that I can swim, and I swam back to shore, and I was okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
I got lost. Lost in thought, lost in... Yeah. It was fun.
I have to say I haven't done that. I've seen it in a movie a few times, but I certainly think, yeah, I didn't want it to be me. That's for sure.
Well, I got caught up in the water, the warmth, the sun, everything.
Oh.
Maybe a couple of margaritas.
That's funny. That's funny. We like margaritas and all those types of things. Martinis. We'll do some of those next week.
The fancy drinks.
We were going to, we had a number of questions from people this week, and actually I had a couple questions from people wondering how to submit questions or how to use the question and answer box. So I'm going to quickly go over that. And if you're on the broadcast page right now, on the bottom left-hand corner, There's a Q&A box that you can see there. And really, all you have to do with that is go in there, type your question in. It's great if you can put your name and your email address so we can respond to you also and let you know that we did receive your question. Because if you don't put your email address in there, we don't know who you are. So a number of people have sent great questions and just their first name. And we would like to just send an email back to you and say thank you. So then you just put your name and you submit the question to us. It comes right through to our moderators panel. And every week we go through all the questions, right, Jane?
That's correct. Yes, we do.
And it's interesting. We have a number of questions that we've got this week that actually are going towards next show, right? And a number of really good questions. One of them, I believe, was about intuition, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, it was very good. Some very, really thoughtful questions. We want to start off this week with our first question this week is from Olga. And the question is, what is the egoic mind? Can you explain that one to us, Jane? And that's ego with an IC on the end.
Yes. With the egoic mind, another word that has been used also is called lower self. So last week we discussed the higher self, and this week we will discuss a little bit about the lower self. The ego has actually been said that it's actually can be considered an illusion. It's a mind thought that takes on a personality of its own. And what happens is that the ego is really, really struggling for power because the ego understands that its time here is very limited. For a simple reason is that when you work from the higher self or work from spirit within the spirit realm, the ego is not needed. It's not used in the sense that it's a lower frequency energy. And on top of that, if it's an illusion, that means that it never has been. But the whole idea behind the ego is that it's a symbol of separation. So the ego perceives everything as being a lack of. So when people are using the egoic mind, they're always going to find themselves spiraling down more in a lower frequency. With the higher self always wants to try and do high frequency and trying to get you to achieve better things in your life. It's driving you for love, for peace, for happiness. And as I said before, the ego is trying to get you to understand being separate from the oneness. So you're being a soul identity, and it's trying to keep you separated from seeing the bigger picture and being one with everyone else. The ego is also, like, as I said, a symbol for separation, just as the Holy Spirit is a symbol of peace. And the separation is just merely a split mind is what the ego creates. And when we say my or I, it's actually the ego splitting itself off from itself just to be able to talk about itself. So when you say my and I, you're actually talking about your own personal story. So even Eckhart Tolle actually suggests, too, to use more in the sense of we and all of us so that you start connecting with that oneness and we start to move in evolution where we're going more with the higher self and working with the higher self in our moment, day-to-day life, rather than from the lower frequency.
That's really interesting. And I like that that when you were talking about Eckhart Tolle, it's certainly I had said to you when I was trying to write some different things, some different articles, was trying to take me and like my personal prejudice out of what I'm saying and really put it out there for people, just writing less from the first person. And I got that from his writing, and I think it's improved my writing. It still needs quite a bit of work, but I think it has definitely improved it. So our second question tonight.
Okay, actually, Scott, I was just going to elaborate on the egoic mind.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
The fact that the ego always wants to compare. So that was another thing you were bringing to my attention there. It's always comparing itself to somebody else. So it's in the comparison of either making yourself better or making yourself not worthy of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another important aspect of the ego as well. Thank you.
This is a very big topic.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a show all on its own.
Yeah, we're just touching on it.
Yes. I love listening to you explain things, Jane. Do you want to move on to the next question?
Perfect. That'd be great.
The next question comes from Mandy, and her question is, what are some meditation techniques?
Okay. Well, I've mentioned in the first show that meditation actually involves two things, concentrating or being mindful. So it's placing your attention away from the thinking mind and trying to allow yourself to be in the present moment. Now, there's many different ways that you can, tools and techniques that you can use to help you to be in that present moment and have that awareness experience. You can do with your breath. You can focus on your breath, which helps you to not think and to allow yourself to be more present and to bring that awareness so that you're the observer, so you're actually witnessing yourself breathing. And that actually becomes the part of the awareness which is in the present moment. You can also use a mantra. You can use guided visualization. you can even concentrate on a solid object. So sometimes by concentrating on a flame, a candle flame, that can help you put in the present moment. All these techniques are helping you to stop the mind from thinking, to take away your attention from the mind chatter. You can also focus on a flower. You can use, these are a lot of concentrating techniques. If you even want to use more mindful techniques, you can use that in your everyday life. So you can be more mindful of what you're doing in that moment. So somebody can be meditating while they're doing the dishes. So you can be mindful of the sense that you actually feel the water in your hands. You can feel the cup, the glass, or the plate while you're washing it. So you're focusing on what you're doing here and now. Therefore, again, you're not thinking. You're being present. That's why nature is such an incredible technique and tool to use to be in the present moment, because you're surrounded with so much beauty. You don't have time to think. You're just enjoying everything, the sounds, the sights, the smells. So for me personally, between the breath and nature has been really, really excellent meditation techniques that I use on a day-to-day basis. And I found to be very, very successful for me personally and for also the other people that I work with. As I said before, mantras are very good too. You just can use sounds that are very flowing. You can use sounds as Om or Ah, which is used a lot by through explanation through Dr. Wayne Dyer. And they're very relaxing, which is also a benefit state to be in that helps to induce the present moment. The more relaxed you are, the more you can be here and now. So there's just a few ideas that can help people to be a little bit more in the present. And thank you, Mandy, for your question.
You told a great story last week about your husband and yourself going for a hike and how you both became very aware of the environment that you were in. Can you tell that story again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, we chose an Easter weekend, and we were walking in the forest. And at that time in our life, too, we had been taking meditation classes together with a group, and we had been learning a lot of breathing techniques. And I'm not sure if our listeners are familiar with fire breath. And that's actually like a panting breath, and that's really good for increasing the energy within the body and raising your energy and your consciousness level. So we were doing that fire breath, and that is one of the reasons what we felt enhanced as well as being in the present moment, as well as just, as I mentioned before, when you're in nature, you're just taking in the beauty and the smells and the sights, and it's just an amazing experience. And we were just walking along, and after doing that as well, everything became so much more crystal clear to us. Our awareness just did a leap and a jump over 10 times fast. And it was just, it was an incredible experience. I mean, sometimes experiences are hard to explain. But the feeling behind it, it was just amazing. It was, what the amazing part was, the fact that we could both experience it together. A lot of times it's a separate experience. So I was really grateful that we could both be in that moment together. And I cherish that, because I don't remember another time where we've had that experience. So I'm very grateful for that. Thanks for asking.
Well, that's great. You know, we were having that discussion not long ago about, you know, everybody can has their own opinion of what success is, whether someone has done well in business or in their relationship or is a great writer or an inventor, or, you know, those people always seem to have or discuss when they discuss how they got to that point where they are able to make that discovery or that breakthrough, is that they were able to be in that moment completely, and nothing else was distracting them from that moment. And it is interesting that no matter what you read from anyone, doesn't matter, you know, whatever their breakthrough moment was, is always that was what was on their mind 100%.
That's true. And everybody has their own experiences, too. I mean, everybody can experience the present moment, but they're going to do it in different ways, or even how they achieve to get to that point. That's why there's so many different ways to do it.
I think that
sometimes
for
even
me,
just Just
well,
being in the
say,
moment.
The first time, you know, the first time was when you asked me to think about fear, and I thought about that story of swimming in the ocean and being very aware. And I'd say the second time that I was really aware of being in the, you know, one moment without anything else distracting me was when my first child was born, my son Brandon was born. And I can remember that. I can still remember that, you know, he turned 13 yesterday. And it's funny, I can, you know, I struggle sometimes to remember, you know, what time of the day my daughter was born. And, you know, I love her just as much as my son. But that first child, that first moment when that happened was just, I think that everything was going on around me, and I didn't even know it. All I was concentrating on was my son. And it was, I think for a lot of men, and I, you know, I don't want to categorize all men into that, you know, put all men into one category, but certainly that was a breakthrough moment for me emotionally and in awareness and consciousness for sure.
Well, you just have done something that's huge. When you're feeling love, that's a surefire way to put you in the present moment.
Well, that, you know, that leads us into our next question from Carol, and she asks, how can someone bring a love relationship into their life?
It's a good question. It can be a long answer, so I will try to give the best information I can. I'm assuming that this is possibly maybe a romantic relationship, but I don't know for sure because it's not extremely specified. But the information that I'll give you can apply to any relationship within your life. And the first and foremost important relationship is your relationship to yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, then it's hard for you to understand what love is so that you can love other people and bring them into your life. And it is all about you can only give what you have inside. So even on that note, you need to be more aware of what it is that, what's your definition of a love relationship? And what happens with us since we were born is we're very preconditioned and environmentally so, and through parents and through family and through teachers at times too, is that we're conditioned to take on other people's beliefs. And then you will find that you have fears, and if you really look at them, you think, okay, you know, where did these fears originate from? Are they your fears, or are they a fear that's been handed down to you through somebody else? So when you think about it, I mean, your parents can only teach you what they know. So if they've been, you know, given certain experiences in life, and they've created certain belief systems or certain fears, it's only natural they're going to pass them down to you because that's all they know. So when they go to teach you, they're going to teach you all that they know. So therefore, I believe that it's a good thing to always to go over within ourselves and keep asking ourselves, okay, you know what? What is it I'm feeling here right now? Okay, if this is a fear, is it my fear? And where did this originate so that you can move forward? And the thing with a love relationship, for a lot of times when people feel that they want to bring in this more, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Right, or this more perfect relationship, and maybe they've had relationships in the past that didn't really work out, they just want to maybe just sit and reassess for themselves, okay, what is it that love means to you? Because as we said before, you can only give what's inside of yourself. So it's been said to make a list. And it's been said to words of, like, using the word love list. And in my feeling, too, if you're going to make a love list where a lot of people will be very specific on what type of relationship they want to bring into their life, for me, I think that you probably want to start with a love list regarding to yourself. So you want to make a list and state, okay, you know what? What is it that I want in a love relationship? But also, what is it that I have within me that I consider a love relationship? So therefore, you have a contrast so you can kind of see both elements. You can see what it is that you want in a relationship, and then you can see what you have within yourself to give to a relationship. Because whenever you have a situation where you feel as though a relationship hasn't worked out, I mean, it definitely has to do with what you're thinking, what you're feeling, therefore is what you're creating in this relationship. So you want to be a little bit more assured and knowing what it is that's going on within you to begin with. So I would suggest making a love list that's very specified and symbolic for what's going on within your heart. So therefore you understand if you have any belief systems that could be based in fear, that might be a reason why you're not necessarily bringing in the love relationship of your choice or a love relationship that you feel that will bring you to a higher energy or a higher consciousness. That would be the first thing. And then once you understand more what it is that you want in a relationship through yourself, then a lot of people begin to then do what we call affirmations, a positive affirmation. And then therefore now you understand what it is that you're feeling. You understand what it is that you're thinking. You now understand what belief you have about a love relationship, and in hopes that it's more of a healthier belief for you. And then you can start there and think about what it is that your affirmation would state for you in bringing in that love relationship. Now, there's five things that you should apply when you do a positive affirmation. You want to make sure that it's in the present tense. You want to make sure it's personal, because you don't want to be sending out an affirmation for somebody else in a relationship when it's you that's going to live it. You also want it to be positive. You want it to be, as I said, personal. You also want to be able to be visual. So you want to see what it is that you want to bring into your life. So you actually want to see how you work with this relationship, maybe perhaps what the person looks like, how the person is, how you see you and your partner together, you know, feeling very harmonious, very much in love, you know, all these wonderful feelings. And then also bringing in the emotional part, too, so that you understand the feeling, what it is that you want to generate within this relationship, that you want it to be of a higher frequency. You want it to be a relationship that's going to serve you. And that's where I would begin.
Wow. I love listening to you, Jane. You give such great explanations. And, you know, sometimes when we say something, and you're the first one to remind me of this, that it's usually a lot deeper than what we intend when we first say it, and certainly why we need to think about things a little bit further before we sometimes say them to other people, or, you know, even say them to ourselves, wish them to ourselves. Do we have time for another question?
What is the other question?
The other question is, actually, we had a question similar to this last week, and I wanted to address it again this week because we actually had a few on this. And the question is, does the length of time matter when you meditate?
Okay, so we did touch on that a little bit last week. As I said, mentioned in the beginning, when you do a meditation, just so that you're not feeling as though you're pushing yourself, 5 to 10 minutes is sufficient time in the beginning so that you're not starting to feel frustrated and you're not starting to get uncomfortable and you're not feeling like impatient and, as I said, frustrated, because that's not going to enhance your experience and that's not going to want you to, it's not going to encourage you to want to spend time in meditation in future. Also, the other thing is it can vary for everybody as to how much time that you want to spend in meditation. What is it that you want to achieve in meditation? I mean, first and foremost, we want to achieve to be in the present moment. For some people, too, to go in the present moment, they want to achieve even further experiences within that present moment. Perhaps they want to have an experience with their higher self or with spirit communication, where they want to communicate or have an experience with their angels or spirit guides or perhaps a family member that has passed over. Or somebody else might want to meditate for simple reason of feeling peace and helping them with their health, their overall health. Perhaps they maybe have blood pressure issues, or they might be very anxious or depressed. And for them, just to be in the present moment and helping them to deal with all this and bring themselves into a more loving state is fine with them. So that might be something that might only take 20 minutes. Somebody else, as I said, wants to go a little further in communication with spirit, and that might be something that they want to spend maybe 1 or 2 hours. So it can vary for each individual. Once you have an idea of what meditation is and how it can enhance and help you in where you are right now in your life. So as I said, it can vary for each individual. But definitely, I would suggest through my own experience, please take the time and at least try. You won't be sorry that you did.
Well, that's fantastic, Jane. What I, you know, I brought this up last week during our conversation. How many people had approached me about you doing more meditation? You know, you're always requested to go to different places. You know, no matter where you are, somebody always wants you someplace else. But how many people I know that are regular churchgoers that are very spiritual people, that really work hard on prayers and affirmations, but really find it difficult to get to that meditative state. And I know that from our emails last week that people are really appreciating your explanations, but there's certainly going to be more people signing up for your meditation classes, that's for sure. We're getting close to finishing off the show tonight, and I wanted to know, is there anything else that you wanted to add before we talk about next week's affirmation?
No, I feel very, very fulfilled in what we've discussed tonight. I feel good. Thank you.
I feel good too. I mean, I've enjoyed doing this. This is only our second week, and I look forward to it every Thursday evening. Next week's affirmation is one that you gave to me, and I'm going to let you pronounce the person's last name. I'll read the, or do you want to read the affirmation, or would you like me to read the affirmation?
No, you can read the affirmation, Scott.
Okay. Love one another and help others to rise to the higher levels simply by pouring out love. Love is infectious and the greatest healing energy.
And it's Sai Baba.
As a therapist, you certainly know that, and as a parent, and you know, as a husband, and you know, a brother, you certainly know that in our years that it's incredible what a generous comment or a thoughtful comment or telling someone that you love them or you care for them means to someone. And I certainly, you know, when people say it to me, and every day I drop my kids off at school, and sometimes I'm in a hurry and I occasionally, you know, I'm not listening the way I should, but since I've been working with you, Jane, I've certainly tried to be a lot more thoughtful when they jump out of the car and say, I love you, Dad, and I think, you know what, that, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, it's one step at a time.
I'm definitely a work in progress, and thank you very much for all the time that you spent with me, and I appreciate you taking on doing this radio show with me. I'm really enjoying it, and you said that you're really enjoying it. We know that the feedback from the people that are listening has been very positive.
No, I love doing this. I love sharing my stories. I love hearing other people's stories, and it's an amazing experience and journey for me, and I'm truly grateful.
Well, again, thank you. And to everyone who has contributed questions, thank you so much. And for all our listeners, people listening over the telephone or listening over live streaming audio over the Internet, thank you so much. We appreciate you being there. And, of course, we appreciate your contributions. So please continue to send your questions. There's a number of questions that were sent this week that actually are being used to form next week's show, and that's where our affirmation came from. So please continue to contribute. We really appreciate it. So again, thank you for Jane Vandris and myself, Scott Dartnall. And I hope you tune in next Thursday night at 10 p.m. for Stop and Live on Massage Therapy Radio. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, listeners. Have a good night.